Good morning.
Good morning.
Is everybody glad they're here? I hope so. See, said I'm with the Gideons, and you guys know about us, so I'm not going to give you history and all that other stuff. I will mention the card rack back there that I asked that when you see it, it reminds you to pray for our ministry, okay?
Yeah.
And feel free to use the cards. I don't want you to use the in memory of so much as the in honor of or thinking of people to celebrate stuff, various things. They help to supply copies of God's word, just like this. Before the pandemic hit, we were giving out over 200,000 of these every day on the average worldwide. That's a million every 5 days. And wow. It's a little less now, but that's because of the problems from the pandemic. But these things cost $1.32, and they're free. They are always given away free. One of the guys that got one of these was down in jail in Ecuador, and he was really happy to get it. He looked at it, my gosh, look how thin those pages were. Sure enough, he tore out a page and he rolled a cigarette and smoked it. It was so nice, thin paper. He was very glad. He smoked the whole New Testament. He never read a page. He smoked it until he got to the back cover. And he found out that the last page is real stiff and it wouldn't roll, so he looked at it. Now we have a dozen verses back here. It tells that that God loves us, we're all sinners, God's remedy for sin. Even has a sinner's prayer for somebody that has no clue on how to talk to God. And our ministry rests on Isaiah 55:11, where God speaking says, and so shall my word not return unto me void, but it will accomplish the purpose to which I sent it. Those verses, that's all he read out of the whole New Testament. And that was enough for the Holy Spirit to come in and touch his heart. And he gave his heart to the Lord. He really seriously did. And when the guys went in for, again, to minister in the jail, he asked for another one because he wanted to read this one. And he did. So when I say it's $1.32, that's unless we have somebody like him, and then it's $2.64 because it takes two of them. Now, we don't recommend that. But it just shows you that the Word of God is powerful. That's all it took. That's all it took because he was ready, you know. And God knows when somebody's ready.
Yeah.
You know, we don't. We think we know a lot of stuff, but we really don't. And there's people that it's the first time they've ever heard. But then there's other people that have heard all their lives. I live over in Dayton, and used to live in Apollo and help the guys up in Indiana County up at IUP doing distributions up there at IUP every year. And the one year, we get assigned spots, and you stay in that area. You know, you don't move around. You stay right there. That's the way it's set up, and if you don't do that, we won't be allowed back in the next year. And all you do is between classes, when they're all over the place, is just stand there and offer them a free testament as they go by, because then class starts and there's nobody around, and you just stand there and watch the birds and the squirrels for about an hour. And a young man I know, Paul Fish, Paul's not with us anymore. He went and became a pastor. He had to leave the Gideon ministry because it's for laymen. And Paul was there, and he got this story later from the guys up in the Indiana camp. He was just standing there holding them out, just like I said. And one young woman, when she came up, she said, oh, is that a birthday present? And he said, well, is today your birthday? And she said, yes, it is. And he said, then it's a birthday present. And she said, he said she looked at him, and for the first time that day, the Holy Spirit really spoke to Paul and said, say something to her, and told him what to say. He asked, how old are you today? And she said, oh, I'm 21. And he goes, oh, what are you going to do to celebrate? And she said, my roommate and I are going out bar hopping tonight. She said, she's been legal, I'm legal now, we're going to go have a good time. We're going to have a great time because I'm legal. And that's how she was going to celebrate her birthday. And Paul felt moved again to say something. And he said, would you do me a favor? She said, what's that? He said, would you ask her, I'm sorry, confusing my tenses here. Would you, before you go out, would you promise to read one chapter out of this? And he said, she looked at him and said, okay, I promise, I'll read a chapter before I go out tonight. And Paul said, then she left, went on to her classes. That night, it turns out, when she was ready to go, she and her roommate, they're all dressed, ready to hit the door, and she said she remembered. And she stopped, and her roommate said, what's up? She said, I promised that guy today, handing out those New Testaments I took one from, that I'd read a chapter before I went out tonight. She goes, okay, so read it. She sat down, and I don't know what chapter she read, but she read a chapter out loud. And then she read another chapter out loud. And then she read another chapter out loud. She and her roommate didn't go out that night. God spoke to both of these young women. They had been raised in church. They had gone to Sunday school all the time growing up. Their parents took them all the time. They went because they were supposed to. They went because they had to, but it never meant anything to them. And their parents knew that. And she said, she told them, she said, that night God spoke to both of them. They both ended up asking Jesus to come into their lives personally. Amen. And it changed them. Amen. She said, they didn't go out to the bar that night. Instead, they both ended up calling home and telling their parents what happened. They said their parents were just in tears for joy because they knew their girls weren't saved. They knew they weren't right. But they'd done everything they knew how to do. And it was a matter of when the time was right, the Holy Spirit spoke to both of them. They both ended up going to a Christian school. They left IUP. And they let the camp know, and the camp let Paul know. And Paul got really blessed by that. And he shared it with our church. And I just, it's fantastic. Amen. Because there are a lot of people out there that are church attenders, you know? They're going through the motions. They know the words. They know when to stand up and sit down. But they don't have the reality of Jesus Christ in their hearts. They are not children of God. They're just church attenders, and it's a shame. We had a young man that had never heard about God before personally. He'd heard stories. He was down in Peru, and he was in university. His name's Guillermo Zapata. Goes by Gil. Gil said that he was in university the one day going around, and guys were handing out little books there, just like we did at IUP. And he said he took one, didn't look at it, stuck it in his backpack, and went on to classes. And he didn't look at it till that Friday. He was cleaning out everything to make sure he got all his assignments done for the next week. Found that in the bottom, finally took a look at it, saw what it was. It was New Testament in Spanish. And we have these in 109 languages now, so people can read it in their own language. And he said he took a look at it and thought, you know, I'm here to learn. He'd never seen a Bible before. He'd heard about it, heard about church, never been to one. And he said he was there to learn, so he thought, I'll read this weekend. And he did. He started reading the New Testament. And he read all weekend, and before the weekend was over, God spoke to him. Now, he didn't just read one chapter or two or a verse or two. He read a lot, but the first time he read, he had a hungry heart, and God came in and met him. He asked Jesus into his life that day. He said he found a local church there in, where he was at, and he started going there regular, and he grew in his faith and his relationship with God. And by the time he graduated from university, he was really solid with the Lord. He was enthused, and he was looking for what God wanted to do with his life. He said he didn't know what it was because he had a degree in mineralogy. He got a job with a mining consortium down there. They do things different than we do up here in the U.S. And he was assigned to a place up in a mountain area, and he was in charge of any prospecting or mining or anything that was going on up there. He set up an office in this town that he was assigned to, got it all set up, and when it was done, he put a sign outside over top the door, free Bible study every Wednesday night. He thought that's a good way to start doing something for ministry. And nobody was interested. Nobody came and talked to him about it at all, and he just prayed about it. Life went on. He said rainy season hit. Later the one day, it rained more than anybody ever remembered it raining before. For the first time ever, it flooded right through the village, flooded into his house, made a mess. He said he was standing in the doorway sweeping some of this muddy water out of the house, and a dog, a mud-covered dog, ran straight past him, went straight over to the table, didn't sniff around or anything, straight to the table, up on its hind legs, and grabbed his New Testament in its mouth, got down and ran out the door. He said it was over in like 3 seconds, and he was sort of in shock. The dog stole the only copy of God's word he had. And he said he started out to go out after the dog and saw where the dog went. Now, see, the reason nobody was interested in his Bible study was because they were into occult worship in this area. They were very much into the equivalent of what we'd call voodoo. In fact, there was a guy who was the equivalent of a witch doctor that lived there in the village. So they were all into that. So nobody was interested in a Bible study. But the dog had gone a half a block down and ran straight into the front door of the witch doctor's house. And Gil said he froze in the doorway and went right back in the house. He was not going to deal with the witch doctor. He didn't know what to do, but he was not going to go down to the witch doctor's house. So he just prayed about it. And he said, about 3 weeks later, he's at home at the front door, and he said, there's the witch doctor standing there at his front door, and he's holding a little book in his hand. And he said, do you remember that really heavy rain we had where it flooded down through and everything? He said, yeah. He said, well, this dog, this disgusting-looking dog I've never seen before or since, ran into my house, dropped this book at my feet, and then ran away. I don't know where it went, he said. And I picked it up and took a look at it. Now, seriously, who thinks? Best way to deliver the word of God to a witch doctor is by dog. What do you think? No. He said, I'd heard about this holy book you Christian people had. I knew you were one of them. And he said, I didn't think I'd ever see one of those. He said, but I've been looking at it. And it's interesting. He said, see, we have what we call the helps section in the front, where alphabetical categories you have. Afraid, anxious, backsliding, bereaved, they're all alphabetical. It gives you a book, chapter, verse, with a scripture to look to help you if you have this kind of a problem. But more important for most people that don't have any familiarity with the Bible, it has the page number, because do you really know, you know, where Colossians is? What is Colossians? Let alone where is it? And so it gives you the page number. He was looking at those categories. He was looking at things, and he said, you know, I've been reading this thing, and the more I read, the more it makes me feel like I'm a bad person. He never considered himself to be a bad person. He saw his role as witch doctor to intercede with the spirits for people, for their relationships within their family, for their health, their crops, how they got along with their neighbors. He wanted to be a good person to help. And he said, this is making me feel like I'm a bad person, because he was going to Satan for this help. He was going to Satan, not to God. And he said, I remembered you had that sign outside your office to study the Bible. He said, would you help me to understand this? I'd really like to understand it better. He was happy to do so. Spent weeks and weeks. In fact, it's like 3 months later before this man gave his heart to the Lord. And when he did, he had a bonfire in the middle of the village that very day. He had a bonfire and burned everything that had to do with occult worship, everything he had. Big bonfire. And then he gave his testimony to everybody in the village about how God had entered into his life, that Jesus was now his Savior, and that he was no longer going to mess with any of this other stuff because he was going to serve God. And it all started because somebody thought it was worth $1.32 to touch one guy's life, who then took it with him and reached what is now the whole area. Gil wrote, when he wrote to share his story with us, he said, there's a thriving church up here now. And he's the pastor. He's the only one with an education in the area. And he said, people are really coming to know Christ. And it only cost $1.32, you know. Good investment. We know that everyone that we give out does not touch somebody's life, that they come to Christ. We know that. We're doing this the way that Jesus' parable of the sower. We're casting out the seeds. Some falls on stony path. Some falls in weeds. But some of it falls on good, rich soil. And it grows and it touches lives, makes a difference, and people's lives are changed. And that's what we're after, is to touch as many lives as we can. We hit the 2 billion mark since we started. We've handed out over 2 billion copies of God's Word. We're working on number 3 right now. So please, pray for us. Help us to do what God's called us to do so that we can continue doing it. We have the men and the women in over 200 countries doing the work in their own country, because they know how to talk, what to do, what not to do, how not to offend people, because cultural differences can really mess us up at times. There are things some things you just cannot do in another country. You'll offend them, and they won't listen to you or anything you have to say. So we go and find Christians in these countries, and they do the work. And I just want to tell you that they're doing it well, but they're poor. They're poor. They don't have the money to supply all the copies of the Word of God that they can give out. Some of them are living on the equivalent of about $400 a year, if you can imagine that. They have money for nothing but food. They're just trying to stay alive. But they do love the Lord. Amen. So I want to let you know that you can help us. Pray for us. Every time you see that display back there, pray for us. Amen. And we'll continue to do the work if you continue to support us. Thank the Lord. Pastor, thanks for letting me come today and speak. I appreciate it.